Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Again, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you fail the test. I read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. That was from the New American Standard Bible.
Good to be here tonight. Appreciate everyone's presence. Hope everyone had a good and restful afternoon. Most of you know this morning we were dealing with the need of self-evaluation. And so we're going to continue that tonight. And I don't know what's going on with this screen here, so he's going to work that out, I think. Anyway, this morning, that's probably good at the, sorry about that. That's probably good. So this morning we were looking at the need for self-evaluation. If I had a laptop right about now, I'd just close it. So, just joking. You're doing a fine job back there. All right. But he'll get it to the right place, I think. So, self-examination. We're emphasizing how important that is. And certainly, we all need to take the time to evaluate ourselves. The passage that Arnold just read for us, of course, Ephesians 13 at verse 5, emphasized that truth. And that's not the only passage. There are several places where we are encouraged to examine ourselves. And that can help keep us on track when we make a habit of doing that. And so certainly we ought to do that. And as I said this morning, we need to make sure, first of all, that we are using the right standard. And that standard, of course, is the Word of God. And it's very easy for us to find ourselves looking at our lives and comparing ourselves to people around us, to comparing ourselves to things like the majority and what's popular with people. And that, of course, will get us off track. That won't help us to be to live the life that God wants us to live. We have to make sure that our measuring rod is the Word of God, that we live up to this standard. That's number one. Number two, we emphasize that we have to be very honest in this, that we know sometimes it's painful, sometimes it hurts to take a real look at ourselves and to see where we are spiritually. But when we do that, we're in position then to take care of any of the shortcomings that we have. And we understand that, and we say it all the time, that we all sin from time to time. And the fact of the matter is we all have weaknesses. There's not a person here tonight who could say, yes, I examined myself and I didn't find any faults or any flaws at all. That's not reality. The truth is, if we say that, then John in 1 John chapter 1 says, we lie and the truth is not in us. So we know going into this thing, when we begin to really honestly examine ourselves, that there are going to be some things we might discover that we don't like completely. And that's where I say it might hurt a little bit. It might be painful, but it is worth the pain. It is worth discovering whatever faults or flaws you might have that you're unaware with that you then can take care of and maintain your relationship with God. And so self-examination is critical, but we have to make sure we do it right.
that we do it by the right standard, and of course we do it being completely honest. So, this morning we looked at the idea of evaluating our lives. If you're here this morning, we emphasize simply what I mean by that is examining what our overall attitude towards life in general is. What is your approach to life? And we looked at two specific things. Your desire in life. What is serving God, pleasing God, the desire of your life? That's something we need to stop and evaluate in our lives. And it's very important that that is the case. That God is indeed the desire of your life. And then we looked at the dedication of our lives. And really all of these points are kind of tied in and build upon each other. Like if God is the desire of our life, if pleasing Him is more important than anything else, then we will be dedicated. We will be devoted to Him. And that's the way it ought to be. I know that we all have different things going on in our lives. We looked at a passage where David said, this one thing I do. But I emphasized this morning that he's a king. He was a king. And so he had a lot of different things to do. And the fact of the matter is we all live busy lives and you have occupations and some of you go to school and we have families that we're raising and all kinds of things in life that demand our attention. But there should be one thing that's more important than anything else. And in fact, it's the one thing that will have an impact on all of those other things that I just mentioned in our lives. It will have an impact in every aspect of our lives. And that one thing, of course, is God. God was a priority for David. And he ought to be our priority in life as well. And so we need to stop and examine and see whether or not that is truly the case with us. So we move on to this next situation that we need to evaluate. And again, it kind of builds on the last. First, we evaluate what our approach to life is. And then we begin to examine the specific things in our life. How are we actually living? And does it line up? When we look at our lives, and I ask myself, Don, what is it that you desire more than anything else? If I can say it's God and pleasing Him, then that again will make an impact on my actual living. But we need to take evaluation and make sure that those things are indeed lining up. And so let's talk just for a little while about evaluating our living. And it seems like everything's coming in twos in this lesson, but we want to look at two things. First of all, a consistent life. Are we living consistently in Christ? And there's two ways, really, of looking at this from the standpoint of living a consistent life. First of all, we need to make sure that our spiritual life isn't sporadic. That we're not faithful for a while and then unfaithful and then again faithful, then unfaithful. We need to make sure that we're staying in our place spiritually. That we're consistent from that standpoint. You remember, and I know you're familiar with the passage, but in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul, of course, in the first 57 verses of this great chapter, he deals with the resurrection. And so he is really dealing with our victory in Christ, the victory that we have over death itself. And he's encouraging us that yes, we can be victorious in Christ and that one of these days we are going to experience a bodily resurrection, put on our new and improved bodies that are eternal in nature. But you notice at verse 15, he says, therefore. And you've heard it said many times before, whenever there's a therefore, you have to think about what has gone before. And in this particular case, of course, it has to do with the resurrection, that we're looking forward now to that great resurrection. Therefore, he says, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. And as we evaluate our lives, that's what we need to stop and think about and examine. Am I steadfast in Christ? Or am I sporadic? Is my attitude towards God and then therefore my living in God, in Christ, consistent? Am I steadfast? Am I, as Paul says, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? This is critical because of what we said this morning in giving the invitation. We know Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when. We know that life is indeed like a vapor and it appears for a little while and vanishes away. And so the fact of the matter is, if our lives are sporadic, if we're faithful for a little while, then unfaithful, that is playing a dangerous game that we'll probably end up losing. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to return. It could be tonight. It could be in the next hour. It could be before we leave this building. It could be any second, any time Jesus can return. And so we have to be steadfast. We have to make sure that we're not allowing the devil to move us and cause us to be wishy-washy all the time. We have to learn to abide. Jesus speaks of that. If you turn your Bibles over to John chapter 15, he uses an illustration that is very vivid. In John chapter 15, and beginning at verse 1. John the 15th chapter, and at verse 1. This is what Jesus himself says. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So, again, these are things we can evaluate in our lives just to see exactly where we are spiritually. Are you a fruit bearer? Now, notice he says here, if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to be taken away. He says down in this thing, as he continues, that to be taken away, that is, you're going to be thrown into the fire. Because the branch that has withered or died, the branch that is not bearing any fruit, isn't good for anything else but to be cast into the fire. So bearing fruit is critical. Isn't that worth evaluating? Taking an honest look at your life. What kind of fruit am I bearing? It's very important. But now watch what he says about bearing fruit at verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. There's the steadfastness. To abide means to continue in a permanent state. And Jesus is saying, you have to bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cast in the fire. And the only way you can bear fruit is if you abide in me. One of the biggest problems we have in Christ and in the body of Christ is not being consistent in our Christianity. Evaluate your life. And make sure that you are being consistent. And there's another way to view the idea of being consistent. And it is this. Are you consistent from the standpoint of what you teach and what you practice? Are you practicing what you preach? That has to do with consistency as well, isn't it? With some people, what they actually do in life isn't consistent with what they teach or what they tell other people. We need to make sure that we're being consistent. John put it like this in 1 John 1 at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What's he describing? Somebody who's inconsistent. Yeah, I have fellowship with God, and yet all the while, he's living in sin. Those things don't add up. Those things don't line up. We need to make sure that we're living consistently, not just from the standpoint of abiding and being steadfast, but that we're living according to the message that we deliver to others. Let's think about a few things along those lines. Saying we love Christ, but not keeping His word. That's not consistent, is it? You go around telling people that you love Christ, and then you disobey the word of God. Remember what Jesus says in that passage. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's not consistent. And that's what we need to evaluate. Or saying that we love brethren and then cursing them. Maybe not literally, but speaking about them and saying negative things about them, gossiping and running people down. James says, from the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. There are a lot of different things we could throw into this category. Saying that we love the Bible, but never reading it. That doesn't add up, does it? That's not consistent. In your own mind, you might ask. In fact, if someone were to ask you, do you love the Word of God? How many of us would say anything but yes? But then when you begin to evaluate your life and you realize, you know, I don't ever really study the Bible unless I come together for a service like this. And that's about the only time I ever pick up the Bible and read it. Am I being consistent? You remember what the psalmist said in this particular passage. Oh, how I love your law. Well, what are you going to do? If you love the law, what are you going to do with it? He says, it is my meditation all the day. Why? Because I love it. But when you say, oh, I love thy law, but you never study it at all, you don't read it at all, does that line up? And of course, the answer is no. The good thing is, if we make a habit of evaluating ourselves and examining our lives, we can figure that out and we can make up in our mind, okay, I'd say that I love the law, I'm going to start studying the Bible more. I'm going to purposely put time aside where I simply sit down and read a chapter or two in the Bible every single day, every single night, whenever is convenient for you. I'm going to do that. And then things begin to add up and line up in your life because of self-evaluation. So you can see how important these things are. Saying we love our fellow man, but ignoring opportunities to do good. It's the idea of being inconsistent. Evaluate your life. Make sure you're living a life that is indeed consistent. Well, number two, a consecrated life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter said at verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so again, we need to look at our lives and make sure, am I living a consecrated life? Am I living a holy life? I have said several times to you in various things, sometimes in Bible studies, so you'll be familiar. This is just kind of a reminder that when it comes down to holiness, there's two different kinds. There's positional holiness, but then there's progressive holiness. And it's important to keep that in mind, because when it comes down to positional holiness, we don't have a whole lot to do with that other than obeying the gospel of Christ. We obey the gospel and God moves us into the kingdom of His Son. He sanctifies us. And so from that standpoint, holiness, being consecrated, it's passive. It's what God does for us, what God does to us. He moves us from the land of the lost into the country of Christianity. And all we have to do is obey the gospel of Christ. We're sanctified, Peter says, by the Spirit. That's God's part. But when it comes down to progressive holiness, that's our part. And that's not something God is going to do for us. We have to do that for ourselves. We have to make up in our minds that now that God has made us holy, we're going to continue to live the life of holiness. We're going to be saints. It's interesting that the word saint, the word holy, they come from the same Greek word, basically, very closely related. Because if we are saints, truly saints, then we're living a consecrated life. But that needs examining. Are you living the life of a saint? Let's make sure that we're meeting that responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, you know the passage well, but here's what Paul has to say. Beginning in the 6th chapter. And I suppose that we're more familiar with the beginning of this in chapter 6. Beginning with verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. What's he talking about? Consecration. Set apart. That's the kind of life that we ought to be living. A set apart, sanctified life. That's living the life of a saint. Paul in Romans chapter 1, I think it is about verse 7, says we're called to be saints. We're called by the gospel. That's God setting us apart. But we're called to be saints. We're called to be sanctified. We're called to live holy lives. To be separated from the sinful world in which we live. And then God says, I will be a father to you. But as you get into chapter 7, notice it now. In chapter 7, he continues. Most of the time, we just end this at chapter 6. But at chapter 7, he says, since we have these promises, that is, the promise of God being our Father, he says, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Isn't that interesting, the way that's worded? First of all, we read this, and it's very clear Paul is emphasizing our responsibility in all of this. But then he talks about bringing holiness to completion. How do we do that? God makes us holy. God sanctifies us. We bring it to completion by making up in our minds we're going to be holy as God is holy. And that involves our living. We need to evaluate our living. If we are claiming, okay, I've looked at my life in general, and it is my desire to please God, that ought to line up with how we're living, that we're living a holy, sanctified life. And so, that's very important. But then let's look at one more thing. We should evaluate our faithfulness. Are you faithful to God? And once again, all of these points kind of are connected, really. But are you faithful? All right, my attitude is I'm going to live for God. I examine my life. I'm looking at my living. And so as I do that, do I find myself to be faithful to God in all things? And hopefully we can say, yes, everything's lining up. If not, then again, that's one of the benefits of self-evaluation. Let's make everything line up. Let's make sure that we're faithful. Are you faithful in worship? We all ought to be faithful when it comes down to worshiping God, paying homage to God. It's our duty to worship God. God wants to be worshiped. And so, are we faithful when it comes down to that? You know the passage in John 4 at verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Are things lining up in your life? As you evaluate your life, when it comes down to worship, do you worship God in spirit? like every time you come to an assembly like this, is your attitude what it ought to be? That's the spirit part. That's what he means by spirit there. Worshiping God with the right mindset, with the right attitude. And with every song that we sing, with every prayer that we engage in, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, whenever we come together to worship God, every aspect of our worship should be done with the proper attitude. Evaluate your life. Evaluate your worship. Do you worship God in spirit? And of course, we have to make sure everything is done in truth, and that simply has to do with following God's word. And I don't worry too much about that. We're blessed to be a part of a local congregation that has been sound in the faith for years. And so you don't want to take that for granted. But it is, there's something built in about that. If you are a member of a sound congregation, chances are you're going to be worshiping God in truth. Or else you wouldn't be a part of a sound congregation. Now, that still needs examining. Like, there have been many local churches that have been sound in the faith and that have worshiped God according to truth at one time, but they're no longer doing that. And so we need to examine even that. But our worship needs to be evaluated. And then even with regard to the assembly, Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How do you do when it comes down to assembly? We talk about that a lot, but it's needed. It's the one thing, when you stop and think about it, it comes down to worship. It's the one thing that says a whole lot so far as something that we do outwardly and that really can be looked at, and you can determine whether or not one is faithful. There's a lot of aspects of faithfulness that it's really between you and God. Not a whole lot of people know, but God knows everything we do in our lives. And so whether we're faithful, God knows, even if other people, even if brethren don't know. You might think I'm faithful, but God knows whether or not I'm faithful. But when it comes down to assembly, that's sort of an outward situation, isn't it? We know those who attend every service, those who come to Sunday morning Bible study and come to Wednesday night Bible class, they attend gospel meetings like they should, and they regularly and habitually attend all of the service. They're faithful in that regard. And so, evaluate your life. How do you do? You know, there are a lot of brethren who will come to services like this and do it again every week. But when a gospel meeting rolls around, they're nowhere to be found. That means things aren't lining up. You can't do that and then say, but you know, God is the desire of my life. My overall approach to living, my overall approach to life, that is to please God. Then a gospel meeting comes around and you're nowhere to be found. That's inconsistent, isn't it? And so, evaluate your life when it comes down to worship. All of these things are important. And then, when it comes down to work, and there are several other things that we could talk about, but with regard to work, evaluate your life. What kind of worker are you in the vineyard of the Lord? Paul in Philippians chapter 2 at verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in Christ. From many different standpoints. A lot of souls that need saving, of course. In Luke chapter 10, you remember at verse 2, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why? Because there are many in Christ, that aren't working. And winning souls, that's not the only work that we have to do. There's all kind of work to be done in the local church like this. Are you an active member in the local church? Evaluate yourself. What kind of worker are you? You can't hide from the truth with regard to that. It becomes plain whether you're actively involved in the work of the Lord or you're not. But you need to sometimes ask yourself and evaluate yourself. If you find yourself lacking, do something about it. Let me quickly show you, as it comes down to those who are workers, there are some in the church who have never worked. Have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Maybe even joined themselves to a local church like this, but then figuratively they kick their feet up and they watch everyone else do the work. Where do you fall in regard to that? Take the blinders off. Take an honest look at your life. Do you participate in the work of the Brown Street Church of Christ? There are some, whatever congregation they're a member of, they never really get involved. They never work. Then there are those, there are some in the church who used to work. You fall in that category? You know, I used to lead singing and I used to do the announcements or I used to go out and visit the sick and do that sort of thing. And what are you doing now? And it kind of ties into the next. There's some in the church who have just simply quit. And there might be various reasons for that. There are those who retire in the Lord, so to speak. And sometimes we understand that as we age, there's less things that we are capable of doing for you know, whatever reason, whatever ailment or how age catches up with. I'm not talking about that. That's natural. But some have plenty enough to give. But their mindset is, I have worked for 20 years. It's time for the young people to get involved and we just let them. I'm just going to stop. Used to teach Bible classes, but no, had enough of that. You used to be involved in whatever aspect of the work of the local church, but now, yeah, just let other people do that. And you just quit. Or there are those in the church who are currently working, who are participants, who are involved. Where do you fall in this list? It's worth evaluating, isn't it? It's something you have to do for yourself. We all have to stop and take inventory of our life, examine ourselves to make sure, not whether or not we're Christians. Remember Paul, when he said that in Corinthians, he was writing to those who had already obeyed the gospel. But the question is, are you continuing in the faith? We all need to take inventory of ourselves. I suppose there are many other areas we could look at. But I think you see the need for self-evaluation. It can keep us on course or get us back on track. And it's extremely important from the preacher to the elders, to every member in the local church, we all ought to be examining ourselves from time to time. Probably. More than from time to time. On a regular basis, we should be evaluating ourselves honestly, using the right source, so we know exactly where we are. Remember, God cried out to Adam, "Where art thou?" A question we need to ask ourselves. Where are we spiritually? Let's make sure we never lose track of that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not tonight? You have the opportunity right now. If there's sin in your life, if you've never gotten rid of the sin in your life, remember, only the blood of Jesus can do that. And the only place to contact that blood is in the waters of baptism, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. If you want your sins washed away and you want to be in fellowship with God, if you want to be a new creature in Christ, it begins with you obeying the gospel. You have a chance to do that tonight. Don't put it off. You may not have tomorrow, but you have right now. Stand as we together sing.